you look here again in this passage, Micah, the prophet is speaking here about the oppositions you'll face. And I was thinking about the subject of the thermostat again. The thermostat, not the thermometer, but the thermostat. And how the thermostat is consistently facing the opposition of a temperature. And I think it's funny that actually the temperature becomes the enemy of the thermostat, because the thermostat has to adjust based on the temperature. And for those of you who are here this morning, I explained that we have too many thermometers in America today, not enough thermostats. And we have so-called weathermen who continue to tell the thermometers of life how we're supposed to respond, when we need some thermostats who will just decide to set the temperature in every situation of life. We gave you different examples of that, in darkness of being light, in sadness of being joy, where there's hate and being love. Just because society promotes and encourages hatred and negativity, especially the media, does not mean I as a Christian have to partake of it, embrace it. I can do all the contrary and decide what my Father wants me to do. And this afternoon on purpose, I listened a few times for the sound of that click. And because the sun was out and it was pretty warm today, warmer, it didn't come on as much this afternoon, which is a blessing. And to be honest with you, I don't always like the sound of the click, because that means the electric bill goes up and Ameren U has plenty of money. Can I get an amen right there? Now, the Ameren employees don't like it when I say that, but I'm going to preach the truth no matter what they say, amen. But the fact of the matter is, we have the ability to set our thermostats according to how we like our houses. How many of you are married to somebody who likes the house warmer than you like? All right, there's a few of you. Marissa, I knew Marissa could raise her. How many of you are married to somebody that likes the house colder than you like? Brother Gary raises his hand, all right? I like weather. I like the temperature. That's why we like to be in the basement. Basement's always cooler than the upstairs. But how many of you're just perfect matches, and you both like the exact same temperature? I know Rick Kuntz used to always tease about how Donna Norma Kuntz liked to keep the house so cold. So he would, every time he'd come for a visit, he'd put a $10 bill on the thermostat and turn it up a lot warmer. And that's the way he justified turning it up. So I'll never forget, Rick Kuntz always told me he would do that. But there's a couple principles I think we can learn when it comes to the subject of how we need to continually be the thermostat. Because the thermostat can grow weary in its life. This morning we talked about being the thermostat. But here's some principles tonight on how we can continue to do that. All right, number one, I want you to notice this very quickly tonight. We have to keep looking again to our authority. Look again. Look again. Of course, where's that authority established? Well, let's back up one chapter to Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8. Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8. I'm sorry, Def, I never could find the verses that I printed off, so next week I'll work better on that. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." If you look at Micah chapter 7 again, in verse number 7, the Bible says this, "Therefore I will look unto the Lord." I'll be honest with you tonight, I'm thankful that my thermostat does not have a mind of its own. I'm thankful that the thermostat does not decide, well, it's too warm today, so I'm going to turn it down. Can I tell you something Christians do a lot of times is we forget to look to the Lord for our guidance. We really do. Last fall when my son was playing football, in one game, one of his teammates decided to change the play without the coach's approval, and it went for a touchdown. It was like, wow, I didn't realize that he had changed the play, and everybody was cheering except the coach. I looked at the coach on the sideline. He was not happy. I remember thinking, I wonder why he was mad. And Grant informed me later that he had changed the play without the coach's approval. And a coach, even though he scored the touchdown, was not happy because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. And I think many times in our lives, we start to score a touchdown here, a touchdown there, and we begin to think that we don't have to look to the sidelines for authoritative guidance, and we forget that God will never lead us astray. As a Christian today, as a thermostat who wants to make a difference in this cold, dark world, we must consistently look to God, because God will give us the encouragement and the power and the energy that we need to continually do what we need to do as far as thermostat goes. You think about phrases that Christians go through a lot of times in life. They say, well, that preacher, that Christian got burned out. Have you heard that before? They stopped going to church because they got burned out. And I've heard that phrase a lot. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I got warned about that a lot. I believe I heard that phrase more in my first 5 years of pastoring than I have the last 17. They don't say it to me anymore. I mean, they probably should, because you never know. You could get burnt out. But here's what I've learned. The reason they would tell me that at a young age is because some of the older preachers were concerned that that would happen. But I've learned this. Anytime I veered close to the thought of burning out, it was because I took my eyes off of Him. He's the one that sets the thermostat of my life. He's the one that sets the temperature I'm supposed to be at. And I don't know about you, but I did a little research on thermostats this week, something we take for granted a lot of times. And they are conditioned or programmed to always stay within 2 to 3 degrees of the desired temperature. That's their job. That's pretty close. That's pretty accurate. Can I tell you something? We won't be perfect. We won't be perfect when serving God. But if we could strive to be in that 2 to 3 degrees off area and keep it in that area, I believe the coach will be pleased with us whether we score touchdowns or not. Because the key tonight is to look at Him. Notice that before He addresses the subject of falling, before He addresses the subject of rising again, He says, I will look unto the Lord. Look at Him again and again and again and again. Number two, real quick tonight, look at this. The very next thing He says this. He says, I will wait for the God of my salvation. I will wait for the God of my salvation. I love that phrase. I love that thought. Again, if you go back to the sports room, it's amazing how many times a guard will dribble the ball up the court, a quarterback will come to the line of scrimmage, or a linebacker will look over. And even before a play is about to start, they will keep their eyes fixated on the sidelines. Even though the play is about to happen right now, they're going to wait until they get that signal from the coach on what defense to run or what play to run, because they want to make sure they do what the coach desires from them. The fact is, most coaches will watch more film or study the opposing team or study the plays way more than players do. And can I tell you something? Hey, it's time to be reminded tonight. Our God is so far wiser than us, it's not even funny. You take all the wisdom of the world, man's wisdom, and put it together in one big bottle, and it won't even be an ounce in all the wisdom that God has. I taught the teenagers this morning, it's amazing that when you abide by the principles of God and you wait on God, it's amazing how things not always go perfectly, but they work out so beautifully in your life. Principles like, if you obey and honor your parents, it will be well with thee on the earth. Boy, I've seen it so true when people live for their parents and honor their parents. It's amazing how things seem to work out. Hey, God's principles never fail if we adhere to them, live by them, obey them, and heed them. So you look to Him, and no matter how close it comes to the play being snapped and the pressure's on, I'm not going to decide what play I'm going to do until He gives me the order tonight. Look to Him. Wait on Him again. Number three, I love this one. Believe again. Believe again. I love the statement that is made by the prophet here in verse number 7. Look at this. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. We've already talked about that. I will wait for the God of my salvation. And then I love this confidence he has in this verse here. My God will hear me. That's what he says. My God will hear me. That's the faith that God likes. And I think sometimes we as Christians will use this as almost a cop-out. So, I don't want to sound arrogant. No, that's not arrogant. If anything, it's confidence in God. He's saying, my God will hear me. Tonight, church, listen, one of the greatest struggles the church has and Christians have today is the old-fashioned subject of faith. You saw that Jesus rebuked for his disciples just about more than anything else was a subject of faith. There was times he said they had little faith. There was times he said he had no faith. But Jesus was always consistently trying to be an example of faith. The Son of God himself in Son of Man form, human beingly speaking, had to exercise faith. When he had those breads and fishes, you say, of course, he's Jesus. He's perfect. He would have multiplied them. But you understand that when he prayed to bless the food as it was distributed to the thousands, he still prayed to his Father in faith. In John chapter 11, when he was going to resurrect Lazarus from the dead, he said, my Father, I know that thou always hear me. Why? Jesus was an example of the subject of faith. And church, we've got to believe in God again. And I love the confidence of the prophet here. I love what he says here. And by the way, that faith gets stronger. That believability, if you will, gets stronger. If you consistently look, if you consistently wait, then you know, if I've looked to God and I wait on God, then I believe it will happen. I'm not going to go to bed tonight and wonder if my thermostat's going to work. I'm not going to go to bed tonight and wonder if I'm going to wake up in a cold house. I've been blessed to have a good furnace, a good thermostat. I'm going to say all this, and tonight my thermostat or my furnace is going to break. But no, but I won't wonder about that. I wonder how many times God wonders about his thermostats. And God's like, man, I want to use you. And you looked at me here and you waited for me there. But that principle of again, hey, church, again and again and again and again. You got to look again. You got to wait again. You look again and you wait again. And it's again and again and again and again. Just like all night and tomorrow and this week, whether it gets cold, whether it's warmer, our thermostat will continue to turn on again and again. And warm air will blow through those ducts and keep us in those vents and keep us warm, keep our families warm. And we take it for granted. But so many times I think God looks down and says, hey, you're my child. You're my servant. Here's your chance. You're on the battlefield. You're on the playing field right now. Here's your chance to be the light in the darkness. But we're not as reliable as thermostats to God as our thermostats in our house are to us. It's a challenge there. Believe again. Believe that God will hear you and me. Believe it. I look to him. I wait for him. And then I know my God will hear me. To have the confidence and to have that believability, it's not cockiness. It's confidence in God. It's that David who decided, I don't care what the hillside of soldiers do. I don't care what King Saul does. I don't care what all these thermometers do. They have been told by Goliath, the weatherman, that they're supposed to be afraid of him. But I have took to God. I have waited on God. And I believe God will deliver us from this giant. And thank God that story never gets old. I don't get tired of preaching it or reading it because it applies to the 2 and 3 year old Sunday school class, to the 44 year old man, and to those in their 80s today. Why? Because David's life was a principle of saying this: I've looked to God, I've waited on God, therefore I can believe God again. It's a beautiful principle. But it comes from the subject of again and again and again. And the writer says, I will look, I will wait, and my God will hear me. Find number 4, keep thermostatting. Keep thermostatting. The battery might run low, we'll change it out. Keep on thermostatting. Keep on being the thermostat of your lives and your circles of influence. Can I say today, everybody in this room has some circle of influence. You can be an influence wherever you are in your life. Well, I'm homeschooled. It doesn't matter. Even inside your own home, you can have an influence. Even as a child, you can have a positive attitude and obedient spirit that makes a difference in your parents' lives even. It's amazing how all of us in this room, whether it's at the workplace or the school or our homes, we can make a difference in somebody else's life. This book is about 2 main things. It's about relationships with God and relationships with mankind. That's it. And when you break down the relationships with mankind, it comes to relationships within your family, with your friends, with Christians of like faith or Christians, and then lost people. And we understand that and we learn that. But in the midst of all those things, we've got to keep on thermostatting. Keep on bringing the warmth where it's cold. Keep on bringing the cool where it's hot. Keep on bringing the light where it's dark. And here's why. Look at verse number 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Yeah, you see that the thermometers of life will put pressure on the thermostats. The thermometers of life will say, hey, it's going to get so cold now. So cold, you won't be able to keep up. And did you know that I was told by somebody that used to come to this church years ago, they lived in Minnesota, that there's 2 cities in Minnesota, I don't remember the names of those cities, that have a contest every year. And they pick one of the coldest days of the year, and these 2 cities will set a banana outside for just a little while, and the first city that gets the banana frozen hard enough to hammer a nail through a 2x4 wins the contest for that year. The record is 2 minutes. A banana froze so hard, it hammered a nail in a 2x4. God bless you, Minnesotans. I'm thankful for Missouri right now. I'm glad when I put a banana outside, it'd probably take 2 days before it froze here in Missouri. Thank God it's not that cold. But you know what? I guarantee you this. There's a lot of Minnesotans up there. And I know some Christians, some friends up there, some good churches up there that have thermostats running in their church, in their home. Oh boy, they're working harder than the thermostats in Missouri. But here's the fact. The thermometers of life, the weathermen of life are going to try to put pressure on us. But it says here, there'll be times when I fall. He doesn't say if I fall. He says when I fall. But when I fall, I love what he says. I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. The promise is this. No matter how tough it gets sometimes, you can always look and God will never fade away. He's always a light unto you and me. And that's why we can continue to thermostat. And anybody can be a thermometer, right? Anybody can just go with the flow. Whichever way the wind's blowing. You want me to be cold today? Okay. I just got to say this, man. It's 2020. I just can't believe how moody men have gotten in this generation. I just don't get it, man. We've come a long way from Thomas Jefferson's famous quote. Few things disturb a real man a little bit. Nothing disturbs a real man much. But man, nowadays, man, we got, I don't even know what mood some people are going to be in sometimes. Hey, come on. Be a thermostat. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, then work on yourself. Get that temperature set right. You ain't going to be able to thermostat for others if you ain't getting yourself right, right? And that's what the writer here is saying. That's what the prophet's saying. I'm going to say psalmist. The prophet is saying here, he's saying, I look unto the Lord. I wait for the Lord. And I know God will hear me. And then he says this, don't rejoice against me. Oh, the pressures on me are great. There's a whole lot more thermometers than there are thermostats. But I've got a report to give to you. I will fall. I will fail. But I'm also going to get back again. And when you think I'm sitting in the midst of darkness, I know where to look because God is always a light for me. And that's the how of the what for this morning. Keep thermostatting. Head your bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening so well tonight.
There is power. a man like him, with shouts of great rejoicing, and with music, and they came of the angels standing by him. He asked what could be their name.
These are the company of prophets.
Band of shining ones drew nigh. They entered into heaven with a hallelujah cry. He asked again, who are these? Can you tell me whence they came? He seemed to see the answer in a burning tongue of flame.
These are the company of martyrs.
He almost shouted at the angels.
These are the sinners saved by grace, the hosts of them who call upon the Savior, washed in blood and justified by faith.
And oh, he leaped up from his knees.
I can rejoice, for I am redeemed.
I can lift up my voice, I can sing. I can go in.
There is a river of gladness that pours from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and God saved. Since then I've walked in forgiveness, and all of my sin was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last, I got saved.
Receive nothing but goodness. I
tested and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved.
I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. I'm good. I want more.
The love of God gave me his pardon.
The love of God.
Before, oh my soul, I'll worship. worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. Worship your holy name. God, I'll worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. God, I'll worship your holy name.